As you know, Mike and Debbie are leaving. This will be their last service. They're leaving for Scotland on Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday. And we wanted them to come now and just share and tell you what's going on, and everybody be real attentive. We're going to bless them today. That's what this basket is for. I know some of you have been giving throughout the last month because we've been announcing that they're, but if anybody else needs a chance to give today, when they get done speaking, then feel free to bless them in this wicker basket here, okay? So, Mike and Debbie, why don't you come, and whatever the Lord directs you to do, I want you to feel liberty. Thanks, worship team. You guys did a great job today. Really, really good. Jeremy is in West Virginia at the revival over there, leading worship for Miguel. And so we're hoping he'll be blessed while he's over there. Amen. Okay, guys.
Hello. I can't see you and see my paper either, or both.
Ooh.
Oh, you're all right.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You got it?
Okay. I, when we knew we were going to speak, I asked the Lord what he wanted us to say, because, you know, we've told you what we think we're going to be doing in Scotland. We really don't know. We're just, you know, stepping out in faith because we really don't have any idea what is going on. But you know that we're going to Scotland because we believe there's going to be a huge revival there. We believe there's going to be a revival here. We believe there's going to be a revival all over the world. But the Lord reminded me that revival is not going to be all just, you know, everything that we hope and pray that it will be. It will be messy. And people that need revival, including us, need deliverance. And we need to know how to fight our enemy. We don't even recognize our enemy. We hide our face from our enemy because we don't know how to deal with it. And so I was thinking about, you know, what's going to happen? We don't even know what's going to happen. But the Lord reminded me of this book, Satan's Dirty Little Secret. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but this was a man that was involved in deliverance ministry. And if you can't understand me because my mouth is kind of screwy, just put your hand up and I'll repeat it. But I want to read you this because I feel like it's so important. And, you know, I did not recognize that I was being attacked when I was in Scotland. I didn't recognize it. Somebody else had to tell me that I was being attacked. And I really thought I was losing my mind, truthfully. And I am a very stable person. But anyway, so much for that. You won't think that after I read all this stuff and tell you. Okay. It was about a guy who was praying in a high school. And he said, much transpired at that school over the next several months. After I had this first vision about a young man, I began to go into spiritual warfare prayer. I began to bind specific demon spirits, the ones you would expect to be operating at a high school. I bound lust, drugs, hate, unforgiveness, fornication, pornography, violence, drunkenness, and such like. I had a fair amount of experience in spiritual warfare and had gained a great sense of what was going on in the spirit realm. I could sense whether a stronghold was breaking and when it broke. This day, however, I felt like I couldn't make any headway. I know that we have had that experience where we have prayed and prayed and prayed and we don't make any headway. As I pressed deeper into prayer, I had an open vision. I saw the entire school as if I was standing several hundred yards away. I saw the ground, the campus, the sky, and something very strange. I saw coming out from under the ground two giant tentacles, one from the left of the campus and the other from the right. They were very thick near the ground and got thinner as they rose higher. The two tentacles interlaced themselves as they met over the top of the center of the campus. They gripped each other powerfully. They were huge. When I saw them, I began to bind them in Jesus' name. But I noticed that all along these tentacles were attached demon spirits. Each had a name written on it: lust, hate, drunkenness, and so forth. They each had what looked like two arms with which they grabbed hold of the tentacles. They didn't hold them on the outside. They were actually rooted into the tentacles themselves. When I saw them, I began to bind them in Jesus' name. I called lust out by name and commanded it to go. I saw this demon of lust get powerfully buffeted and blown backwards. It was like a leaf during a strong gust of wind. It bowed back and shook, but its roots and the tentacle were undamaged. That's something to think about. I went from demon to demon, and the same thing happened. The more I prayed, the harder they got hit. I started to realize that if they didn't have roots in the two tentacles, my prayers would have easily driven them away from the campus and the students. As this vision continued, I asked the Lord, "What are these two tentacles?" I knew if I could break their power, all the other ones would easily go. The Lord spoke to me, and these words have changed my life. God said, "These are two demon spirits that all other spirits get their strength from. These two demon spirits empower all other demon spirits." This was the mother lode of revelation. God then said, "These are the same two spirits that Satan released upon Eve in the garden. They are the same two demon spirits that Satan continues to release today." I cried out to God, "What are they? What are their names?" I could easily see the names of all the smaller demons, but I couldn't see any names on these. It amazed me how the demons we all think are so big and powerful were actually quite small. Lust, drunkenness, drug addiction, violence, hatred, and fear were all relatively small and relatively weak without these two giant demon spirits. I prayed for quite a while. I had to go deep in the spirit to see what was under the surface. After quite a while, the vision expanded. Not only could I see above the ground, but I also saw under the ground. Each of the tentacles curved back toward each other and nearly touched. They looked like giant roots, like a bulb, fat at the bottom and thinner the farther away from the root. Written on these roots were the names. One was called insecurity, and one was called inferiority. Just let that sink in for a minute. Most of the problems that we have as Christians, as believers, the Christians that have problems with each other, it's caused from insecurity and inferiority. Even when I was in Scotland, and the thing that attacked me in Scotland, that's exactly what I felt. So insecure about who I was, about what I knew, and about how God was going to use me. And I felt so inferior. It may be because of things that have happened in the past, or the way we've lived our lives, or, you know, who knows what causes, you know, divorce or, you know, bullying or whatever. These are things that we need to fight against. We need to fight them in our mind, because that's where Satan has his battlefield. And we need to recognize the battlefield. And then we need to realize who we are and what we have in Christ. And luckily, that's what my husband feels called to tell everybody that he sees, including all these young people that we come in contact with. You know, people don't get involved with drugs or sex or drinking because they are so happy and it makes them so happy. And, you know, you get involved because you're unhappy, because something in your past has made you feel like you need to have something to make yourself feel better. So I realize that this is not a happy, you know, going away talk, but I love you guys so much. We could not have made it without you. And I knew you were praying for us. And so I've been here in this church for, I don't know, 37 years. I came here when I was 21. And I've loved every person that's come through here and left. But most of the people that have come through and left, or most of the pastors that have come and left, it's because things happened and there was inferiority and insecurity. And we need to fight it because God wants to have a revival here. And what are we going to do when he brings it? Are we going to fight each other? Are we going to say, well, I'm right and they're wrong, so we can't do this? God needs to be the head of this church. He needs to be the head, and we need to be the followers. And that's what, you know, it's not, you know, even when you get saved, it's not because you've said a little prayer. That's not it. That's what we'd like to make it, is that we say this prayer and then we're saved and we're going to heaven. We don't have to worry about anything else. The fact is, when we say that prayer, if we're sincere, it makes a difference. However, you have to be a follower of Christ. Jesus said, come and follow me. Do the things that I do. Walk the way that I walk. Say the things that I do. That is what we need to do. And so that is what I really felt like God wanted me to say this morning. And I hope that you will just let it sink in. And the next time you're attacked, recognize where it comes from. It's not people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We need to recognize that. That's all I need to say.
Inferiority and insecurity. And it's nice to talk about fighting that and fighting it in your mind. How do you do that? I mean, I'm sure we've tried, and you try to do better, you try to do, and how's that working for you? Okay. I think there's really only in this. It's funny how I didn't even know how this was going to come out. And what God has given me is the way you fight that is you know who you are. You know who you are in Christ. And I'm just going to go through, you know, the book of Ephesians is an amazing book. And I'm just going to go through that for a couple minutes. And just everything that you are in here. Okay. It says in verse, starting in verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So before the world was made, he chose us. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and in grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. That will, if you really believe that, that will help you if you feel inferior. It's hard to feel inferior if you really believe that. If you go down to verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. If you go down to verse 13, in the second part, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised us and that he has purchased us to be for his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Okay. As if that's not enough, go down to 18. And this, actually, probably it doesn't say we have this, but Paul prays for us for this, so it means that it's for us. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called. His holy people are who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also understand, or I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So, it isn't just a song. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. You know, these are all basic things. But do we really believe them? You know, I think that we don't feel like that. We become a culture that just acts on everything that we feel. You know, if you know you don't feel like you don't love your wife one day, you leave her. You know, if I feel like I'm a woman one day, then I'm a woman. And I mean that, well, I mean, that's true. And just because you don't feel like the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, so what? So what? It does. Okay, you go to chapter 2. Verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Okay, how are we seated in heavenly places in Christ? You know, I'm not real sure I understand all that, you know, but I don't understand how this works. But I know that if I press the right buttons, I can talk to somebody. You know, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. If you go down to verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about us. And verse 10 is always kind of overlooked. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I mean, there seems to be a pattern here that this stuff was all planned years before we were even born. Okay. You go to verse 13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ has bought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. If you look at the law, all that can do is make you feel insecure and inferior, you know? All right. In verse 19, he says, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You go to chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And then another one of Paul's prayers. One of the things that I know that Debbie and I did when we were in Scotland, and we would, there are two prayers in Ephesians, and we would take both of them and personalize them. I mean, we would get up every morning, and I would say, God, I thank you, O God, creator of heaven and earth, I thank you that from your glorious unlimited resources, you will empower us with inner strength through your Spirit. That is, if I were to make a suggestion to you, I would suggest that you do that. It really does make a huge difference. But the prayer for spiritual growth, and again, you know, this is something obviously that we can have, because, and he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. You know, and so that's... That was me going through it for maybe 45 minutes yesterday, picking out some things in those first three chapters. And the second three chapters really tell you what your life should look like based on that. I think that, you know, hopefully when we are in Scotland, I think that, I don't know if all of you are here, we are going to be working with outside groups from YWAM. One of the really interesting things is that the Church of Scotland has gone to Youth with a Mission, and ask them to show them how to disciple people. Which is, I don't know if it's possible for people here to understand how big a deal that is. It's kind of like if Eastgate Baptist were to come here and say, what is this baptism in the Holy Spirit stuff that you guys talk about? Can you tell us about that? So I guess, yeah, why don't you come on and finish up?
I just was thinking as he was talking that we have to believe this stuff. You know, that's the way we fight inferiority and insecurity. You know, it's not how loud we can pray or if we scream and yell at the devil. We have to believe in our mind and in our heart that everything that is in God's word for us is true. That's how we fight the devil, in our mind and in our heart. And he's given us tools. I mean, we can bind the devil. You know, we put on the whole armor of God. But what is the whole armor of God? It's righteousness. You know, it's a breastplate of righteousness. It's truth. It's not, you know, that we have to get up and act like a ninja, for lack of a better word. But we have to stand fast in what we believe. Our minds have to accept the fact. I mean, we accepted the fact that we could be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We have to accept the fact that we have everything that God has supplied for us. And if we don't take it, it's our fault. If we don't believe it, it's our fault. And so we have to overcome that. And
It's even more than that. It's not just accepting. You have to, we have it, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you believe it or not, you have it. You know, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, whether you believe it or not.
Just like salvation.
You know, it's just like salvation. I mean, all of that is true. And, you know, believe it or, you know, you need to believe it.
So we really thank you all so much, everybody that's contributed to our going, because we do have to pay for our own. Even though we're on staff, everything is paid for by us. And, you know, that's what we're using our retirement for. So, you know, whether it lasts, or it will last as long as we need it to last. So, but we thank you so much, and thank you for listening to us and for opening your heart to us. We really appreciate that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we are all going to be together for eternity. And I'm glad.
Amen. What is faith? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. What are you hoping for today? What are they hoping for as they go? I just ask for the Lord to increase everybody's faith in here today, that the things that you hope for will actually happen, that you'll be able to believe them. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. They know basically what they're going to be doing, but they have no clue after that. They know they're going to show up there, and that takes faith. And I wrote down a few things about faith. I've known these guys since 1989, and they're not agenda-driven people. They have no agenda. They just have faith. They're not going over there trying to prove anything. They don't think that they're the saviors of Scotland. Jesus Christ is, but they're making themselves available. And I wrote this down. Faith doesn't have an agenda. Faith simply believes. Go to Scotland? Okay, I'll go. wherever God tells you to go. Faith simply believes. Faith acts on what it's told. If you read Hebrews 11 and 12, they acted on what God told them, not out of their own power. When he told Noah to build the ark, Noah didn't come up one day and just say, you know, I think I'm going to build an ark. Faith acts on what it's told. And that's what, and another thing, you don't have to be perfect to have faith. A lot of people think, oh, I got to be this, I got to be. There's none of us perfect, and you don't have to be a perfect person to have faith. And the last thing is, faith is not trying to be someone or something. Faith is simply doing what God tells you to do. I brought these Bibles out earlier because I was thinking about them leaving, and I don't know if you can see these, but this one here is a family Bible. Let me get my stuff out of the way here. It's so old that the covers are all falling off of it and everything else. It's got locks on it and everything, steel. Can you imagine carrying this thing around with you? But I don't even know when this thing was published, but it's really old. And it's the family Bible of the Old and New Testaments. And it was printed by Henry Spahr, 68 Pickering Building in Cincinnati, Ohio. This thing is so old that I can't keep it together anymore. And I thought about faith. And this Bible that is so old, I don't even know when it's from, they were talking about faith and trusting in God and living your life for Him. And I thought, what a heritage these guys have. What a heritage that we have. Then I have this Bible that somebody gave me. And it's so beautiful on the inside, but it was printed, published by W.H. Merriman in Troy, New York in 1846. This is an 1846 Bible. And guess what? It still works. It still works. And that's what you guys are a part of, everybody in here. It still works from 1846. So aren't you glad to be part of the family of faith today? And if God tells you to do something, do it, because that's what the Bible is based on, doing what God tells people to do. Our examples that we read about in Hebrews 11 and 12 are because people did what God told them to do. Even back in 1846, they believed this. Then, Debbie and Mike were on a trip when we went to England and Scotland to meet Jeremy and Catherine. And we went to York, beautiful place, absolutely loved York. And they had this famous bookstore there, and I wanted to go in this bookstore and make sure I got something in this bookstore. And I found this little Bible on a shelf. And it was printed in Great Britain at Cambridge University. And it says, an inscription says, to Muriel from her sister Olive, Christmas 1932. Not only did it work in this one, we don't know where it came from. It worked in this one in 1846. And at Christmas in 1932, it was working. You getting this? This is the heritage. And then she wrote a scripture in here. 1 Samuel, let me find it real quick. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He has done for you. Amen. This is who we are today. This is how we identify ourselves. Not because of what we've done, but because this word is true. And then when you get to the end, I have a Bible here, a New Living Translation, which is very modern. And I like it because it reads easy for me. I've had it for 6 years now. Jeremy and Catherine got it for me. And as I looked at these four Bibles, it made me reflect on what we're called to do and how God will be with us every step of the way. Faith spans all these years, and this Bible works just as good as those Bibles because God stands behind the authority of His Word. And I was so blessed by what she had, and both of them had to share, but especially about the insecurity and inferiority. Matter of fact, I was praying with somebody earlier, and I said, you're a man of great expectations, but God wants you to know that if you never meet the expectations of everybody around you, He still loves you. Don't live by other people's expectations. You live by what God tells you to do. And you fulfill that, and you'll live a happy life, and you'll live out your days in peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, will you guys come back up here, and here's what I want us to do. This is how we're going to end our service today. We're going to pray for them. So come on back up, guys. Yes. Yeah, okay. All right. Come on up, guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's be bold. Let's be bold. Is there any? There we go. If you need prayer for insecurity and inferiority, whoever's first in line gets prayed for. Make a line right here. Just get in line. Pray for them. Insecurity and inferiority. That's what we're in line for here. Hallelujah. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
Instead of praying for everybody individually, I was thinking about this yesterday.
Okay.
And the Lord impressed upon me to pray.
Okay, a certain way? Good.
A certain
okay.
way.
And how's so that?
Just everybody line up okay. this way.
She said the Lord already told her how to do this, and so just line up right now. She's the messenger. We're going to let her apply the message as God told her to apply it. Look at this. Here you go. You need the mic, or you guys just, you know what you're doing here? Okay. Here. Do what God tells you. Look at this. It's amazing.
Go ahead.
Okay, Father. You are the one that asked us to say this, and so you know what is deep in the hearts of your people, for the people that are up here and the people that are not up here. And Father, we submit ourselves to you. We stand here, up here, on this line, saying we resist the devil. We resist the things that have caused us to do the things we've done. We resist the attack on our mind and on our heart and on our spirit. In Jesus' name, we resist. We stand with the breastplate of righteousness, with truth, the armor of God, everything that we have, we resist. And we stand as warriors and armor bearers of God. Because we are going to take what you've given us, Lord, everything that you've given us, not just salvation, but Lord, we take everything that you've given us, Lord, everything. And Lord, we take your word in Ephesians that we are the people that you've created us to be, whether we have been in the gutter or we are in the White House. Lord, we ask you to show us exactly who we are. And Lord, we ask you to show us, each one of us, God, when we are being attacked by the enemy. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to show us in our mind and fight it in our mind and in our heart and in our body, God. We fight not by our own power, Lord, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Lord. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome. We are fighters, Lord, but not by our own power and our own strength, God. We fight in the name of the Lord. Lord, every evil thought, every evil attack of the enemy, we resist it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God. In Jesus' name, we resist the enemy. We resist the lies. We resist everything that is coming against us, Lord. And we stand up in power and strength, just like David did when he killed Goliath. Lord, we do it now in Jesus' name, by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless. Thank you, Father. No more. No more, no more, Lord. No more, no more. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to show us, show us. We bind inferiority and insecurity. Lord, however that has come, in whatever package it has presented itself to us, Lord, we don't accept it anymore. We don't accept it anymore. No more, in Jesus' name. We don't accept it in Jesus' name. We resist the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. Father, you know every thought that we have. And we know, Lord, what thought is from you and what thought is from the enemy. So show us, Lord. Make us so aware of what is going on in the spirit world, Lord, that we are able to fight back in the way that you've given us, God. No more attacks in Jesus' name. No more attacks. Thank you, Father, for this daughter, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. No more attacks from the enemy. No more insecurity. No more inferiority. We have everything that you've given us, Lord. Everything that you died to purchase for us, God. That you cared so much about us, Lord. You cared so much about us, Lord, that you gave your own life, Father. We accept that in Jesus' name. No more insecurity, no more inferiority in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. No more inferiority, no more insecurity. You are a daughter of the King. You are a daughter of the King. He thinks you're beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Father, no more insecurity. No more lies of the enemy. No more lies of the enemy. She doesn't accept them anymore, Lord. She is aware of what's coming against her, Lord. And she's going to become more aware every day. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. No more lies. No more lies. No more lies about your health. No more lies about your family. No more insecurity. No more inferiority. In Jesus' name, we bind them in Jesus' name and bind them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No more insecurity. We stand, Lord, as your warriors. We accept the mantle, Lord, in Jesus' name. No more insecurity, Lord. No more in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, I just pray for Jeff, God. No more insecurity, Father. No more inferiority, Lord. He is your son, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we ask you to cleanse his mind, God, of all the thoughts that the enemy has driven against him, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for each person, God, that didn't feel like they come up, Lord, that they don't have that. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, God, and for each person sitting in the pew, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would make it a revelation light that even shines over the congregation, Father, to show each one, Lord, when they feel anger and hurt, let them see where it comes from, God. It's not from people, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to shine it over the congregation, even to be a spotlight, Lord, to show the enemy what he's doing, God. Let him be like a deer in headlights, and Lord, let us step on the gas and mow him down. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You guys stay up here. We're going to pray for them. Everybody was up here. They prayed for you. You're going to pray for them. Hallelujah. And those of you that didn't come up, if you want to come up and lay hands, we're sending them out as a church, representatives of this church, and not just of this church, but the kingdom of God. They're kingdom people. They're not churchy. They're kingdom people. You guys, when you get a chance, come up here. The wicker basket is for them. Hallelujah. We'll pray for them, and then you can greet them. How's that sound? Let's gather around them right here. We're going to pray for them. And then you guys can greet them and give them a hug. Give them a kiss, too, if you want. Hallelujah. All right, let's just lift our voice up on their behalf. Father God, we love you today. We thank you that we have such a great heritage, a great inheritance. Lord, we thank you for the word about insecurity and inferiority, Lord. It was heaven sent. It's straight from the throne of God, Lord. Lord, we see by the response that your Holy Spirit is alive and well today in our hearts. Not only the courage and the faith to give the message, but the courage and the faith to receive the message and show ourselves in transparency before the congregation. Lord, let us not forget that we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, as they are surrounded right now by their friends and their family. Lord, we just pray the blood of Jesus on them. The anointing that only God can give, and if God gives it, then man can't take it away. We come against strategies and obstacles and any barrier, any impediment that would be put in their way. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for great faith. Lord, you said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I found this prayer of faith, and I'm going to read it over you too, because it also applied to me, and I found it yesterday, and the Lord said to read it over you guys in the congregation. As your faith is strengthened, you will find that there's no longer the need to have a sense of any control, that things will flow as they will, and that you will flow with them to your great delight and benefit, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, it's greeting time. Everybody greet them. Hallelujah. Just so you know, Dr. John had his 60th birthday. Dr. John's 60th birthday. Need to greet him too and tell him happy birthday. He's back there by the sound booth. Those of you that have to go, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. You don't have to run off. I just wanted to bless those that have to go. Next Friday or next Sunday, bring someone with you. It's Friends Day. invite somebody that doesn't normally go to church and bring them with you. We'll treat them good. Amen. Next Sunday.